tonight's Pacific Chat, and it's Koro Vakauta on the line from his home. Kia ora, Koro. Welcome back to Nights.
Talofa, Brian. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Yeah, keeping warm. It's starting to get a little chilly out there these days, isn't it? But, yeah, keeping warm and keeping busy.
Yes, yes. The busier, maybe the less cold you feel. That's sometimes what I find.
Possibly. And it's definitely been busy in the Pacific, as always, as you know.
Yeah. Now, why is Honiara in lockdown?
Well, to be honest, that's a great question if you're on the opposition side of Parliament, at least. So basically, the Solomon Islands Prime Minister, Manasseh Sogavare, advised last week, I think it was, or earlier this month, that there would be a 36-hour lockdown, basically to test the capacity of authorities to deal with a COVID-19 outbreak. They don't have any confirmed cases at the moment. But what that means is that the capital of Honiara and the outskirts as well is under a 36-hour lockdown. It went down or it became enforced from last night, and it will go until Friday 6 a.m. local time. And there's police checkpoints everywhere, 9 police checkpoints across the so-called emergency zone, more than 100 officers manning those checkpoints. And even as recently as overnight and into this morning, there were 22 arrests made. The Prime Minister had just before this lockdown was implemented or went into force, into play, he suggested that everyone just needed to get adequate supplies of power, top up their cell phones, get essential household supplies, make sure their bills are paid, so on and so forth, because it could be a long 36 hours.
Now, am I right in remembering that Kuroi Hawkins told us about some ructions in the ranks in Solomon Islands in terms of the governor of Malaita speaking out of turn as far as the Solomon Islands government was concerned about some of the policies towards COVID-19?
Well, he'd missed what the government determined as an important COVID-19 meeting, but I think there were underlying tensions in regards to China-Taiwan relations there. But in saying that, there has been an opposition MP, East Ariare, Peter Kenilorea Jr., who's called this so-called mock lockdown. He's called it questionable. He says there's no purpose to it, given that there is no cases in the Solomon Islands, and they've had a state of emergency in play for a few weeks now. And interestingly enough, you may have remembered something Kuroi might have mentioned in the past as well, that there was a lockdown over the Easter break in Honiara, the same kind of thing, that they just said they wanted to test their capacity to deal with things, and that resulted in dozens of people being arrested. But 58 of those people who were arrested for breaching curfew orders were released on technicalities by a judge. And there's also ongoing cases with the lawyers of these people saying, look, there was no public disorder issue, no curfews had been ordered since that Easter, and there'd been no jump in COVID-19. So it showed that there was no reason for that lockdown in Easter and this lockdown that's in play at the moment. So it is a controversial move by the government, but it seems to be something that they're just, I guess, ticking the boxes, making sure. I mean, even here in New Zealand, people have accused the government of being overcautious. I guess the Solomons are the same. They don't want COVID-19 to be an issue in the Solomons, in the tight-knit communities. They've had police visit islands off Honiara to the north. There's an island, Tulangi, and earlier this month, police went over there and visited health authorities just to check up on how things were going in terms of preparedness. So I think it's just all about being cautious and making sure that COVID-19 isn't a big issue as it is in some Pacific Island territories.
But it's still a big issue in Guam, isn't it?
Exactly, yes. Guam, funnily enough, we may have thought there was a bit of a lull. There had only been 8 cases in this whole month of May. And they'd had quite a few days of no cases, and we know how that feels here in New Zealand. The public are quite happy about that. They respond with joy and confidence. But what's happened in Guam, they've had a lull, but then all of a sudden there were 64 samples tested on Wednesday, and 11 of those samples came back positive, which is a real concern. The governor's press secretary has just issued an edict, if you like, saying the public still need to remain cautious. He said, stay home. If you don't have to go out, stay home. And she's used the words that we often hear around the world, stop the spread and save lives. There's been no information as yet as to how these or where these 11 cases came from. As far as the governor's office is concerned, they said epidemiological profiles are still being constructed and tracing contacts and that sort of thing is still happening. They hope to have details in the next 24 hours or so, but it is concerning that suddenly there's 11 cases, which takes the total to 165, and that includes five deaths in Guam. And although 125 people have recovered, but it is the worst hit area in the Pacific or island in the Pacific outside the US state of Hawaii, which I think is something like 643 cases and 17 deaths. But it's a real one. It's a real situation we need to keep an eye on in Guam.
Well, the other thing is that it's one of several cases around the globe where some countries are paired who have got on top of it, and then whoop, there's a little blip that people weren't expecting, which just tells us how difficult sometimes it is to keep tracks on this coronavirus.
Exactly, and I think even when restrictions in Guam were eased over, I think it was Mother's Day time, they lifted some restrictions allowing gatherings of more than 10 people. Even when that happened, Guam's governor, Luluon Guerrero, she congratulated Guamanians, but also cautioned to saying that, that they're not out of the woods yet. And her words were that they needed to watch out for a so-called second wave, and who knows if these 11 cases are indicating or indicative of that.
What about the US warship that was there and where there was a big cluster of cases? Is that still stuck in Guam?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because those 165 cases in Guam actually don't include the sailors that were on this ship, the USS Theodore Roosevelt. It's an aircraft carrier. And it was in Guam because, as we know, Guam's a U.S. territory and has military facilities there. But it spent more than a month docked in Guam because of the 5,000-odd sailors. Thousands of them were basically struck down with the coronavirus. Now, we know from local media reports in Guam that the Theodore Roosevelt has left the island's harbour. Some people will breathe a sigh of relief at that, but they've also left 1,800 sailors still quarantined on Guam. So it's a scaled-back crew of around about 3,000 that have left and that will slowly make their way to San Diego. And as you mentioned, this is an ongoing saga with this aircraft carrier. People may remember the commander of the vessel, Captain Brett Crozier, he had urged superiors earlier on in the piece to act to prevent troops or sailors or personnel dying. And they have had deaths on the ship. And the acting US Navy Secretary at the time, Thomas Moldley, said the commander was exercising extreme poor judgment by making these public comments. He removed him from the command of the vessel, but subsequently, due to a lot of outrage in the public and also from Congress, Thomas Moldley actually resigned in April. So there's a lot ongoing saga with the ship. We'll have to keep an eye on what's happening with these quarantined sailors on Guam as well, and whether even that was where these 11 came from. We'll have to, wait and see what happens.
Do you know, Cotto, how many people have died who were on the ship who caught it?
Well, this is the thing, that the military figures are being kept close to their chest. Even the actual case numbers aren't clear. There's been various numbers. I do know that there was a death of a sailor a couple of weeks ago. So there have been deaths. And then again, as I said, the exact number is more approximate. That's why we're saying about 1,800 sailors still quarantined, because they haven't been forward with all their detailed figures, if you like.
Now, on a slightly more positive note, you said Talofa, and I've just been reminded, well, that reminded me, that it's Samoan Language Week in this country in Aotearoa, isn't it, Koro?
Yes, it is indeed. It's listeners to RNZ and RNZ Pacific would have heard that it was the Rituman Language Week. The inaugural Rituman Language Week took place last week. And so Samoan Language Week is the second of nine in a series of language weeks in New Zealand that the Ministry of Pacific Peoples runs. It's all about promoting languages and cultures. And people may say, you know, Samoan, why? It's actually, you know, censors say the stats bear that it's the third most spoken language in New Zealand. This is Samoan, and that's after English and Te Reo Māori, and it's the second most spoken language in Auckland City as well. And we also know all these things that the government is really interested, not in the latest budget, but in this so-called wellbeing budget. Last year, they invested $20 million in promoting Pacific languages and building a language unit in the Ministry of Pacific People. So it's something that this government is really interested in promoting languages, because we know that languages help with your identity, help with your well-being, and just give you another lens in terms of how you see the world.
How close is Samoan to Tongan, Koro?
I mean, there are slight similarities, but it's not as similar as, say, Tongan to Niuean, which is very close. And there's some Wolosian languages as well, or dialects that are close to Tongan. But there's it's not as close as some of the other languages.
You can't go to, say, to Samoa and have a conversation with a Samoan and understand easily. I mean, there's a bigger difference between that, say, and the difference between New Zealand English and Scots English.
Yeah, I would say so. The common ones that many people across the Pacific know are things like talofa lava, which is hello, fasui fua, which is goodbye, manuia fafatai is good, thank you, oama oi, how are you, those sorts of things. Just the basic things that most Pacific people kind of know from every language. But apart from that, yeah, I'd have to go into sign language or some kind of Pidgin English rather than Samoan.
Is there a theme for Samoan Language Week in 2020?
Yeah, there is indeed. It's the English transaction. It's prepare yourself a gift for your travels, which is maybe ill-timed given the border closures across the world.
Yeah, but you know, actually meaning your travel might be just down the road. That doesn't matter. It's still a travel.
And it's actually, apparently the concept is that it's about your life's journey, you know, the metaphoric travel, if you like, and how you can, I guess, preparing yourself a gift for your travels is all about exchange. It's about love. It's about sharing gifts and your talents and that sort of thing. And for Pacific people, as we know, that's a collaboration and exchange is an important part of a lot of cultural interaction. I mean, on that note, it's interesting how they're going to celebrate Samoan Language Week, because we know, as I mentioned, the Tumin Language Week was last week, and with these coronavirus restrictions, it's a lot different from previous years where there've been big church services, big dance festivals, big cultural festivals. That's kind of gone along the wayside in this environment now. There's a lot of online stuff. We know that there's a young Wellington-based author who's putting out an ebook in Samoan over this new week. So it's a kind of a new environment for everyone, and the language weeks is no different.
Koro, thanks so much for joining us this evening, and enjoy your weekend once you get to it.
Yep, manawea le po, which is have a great night.
Thanks, Koro. Koro Vakauta with tonight's Pacific Chat. There'll be another one after 8, around about 8:15 on Monday, on RNZ National.